my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. I'm very excited again to start to do this lesson today. I'm going to continue on in this series that Pastor started on wisdom for the holidays. This is going to be part three. And my subtopic for today is that everyone has a story. We all have a story. And how many of you like to hear a good story? How many like to just hear, you know, you get to hanging out with your friends, you get to hearing people tell their stories of this one time this happened, you know, or they get to talking about how when they were little this happened, or, you know, they were riding down the road and then all of a sudden this big black bear comes crossing across the street, and instead of stopping, they hit the gas so they could hit it and, you know, tear it into pieces, you know. So we all have these different stories that we all like to tell, right? And some of you guys have really, you know, you're very, very good storytellers, you know, like you can really portray a picture with your words. And I don't have I can't do that. I'm gonna tell you my story and hopefully you'll get it, you know. But some of you have, you know, you really have this craft to storytelling. And then there are some of you have really learned how to really embellish your stories to make them be a little bit more interesting than what they were. You know, I'm not saying it's a lie, but you may add a little bit extra toppings to it to make it a little bit more juicy, all right? So, but we all like to hear a good story. And if we're honest, you know, some of us have some stories that we'd rather keep untold. You know, we have done some things I don't want nobody to know about. You know, we have, as Pastor says, we have that door. We have a guard on it. We have it locked up. We have it double locked. We have three locks. We have a guy with a shotgun on deck. Anybody try to open that door, shoot him on point, right? So, like, no, we have some things that we don't want nobody to know about, right? But at the end of the day, you know, I was thinking about Pastor. I was talking about the embellishment just now. You know, how he always tells that story about how we met. You know, every time he tells that story, he adds something to it. I'm like, that is not what happened. You know, but to him, that was his perspective of the story. So I give him that, you know, because we all have our perspective of how things happen, right? So at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I just asked one question. Whose red Mustang was that, you know? But to him, it was just like, you know, that was it. I knew she wanted me then. I'm like, okay, whatever, right? But I did. So we have these stories or these life lessons that we have, you know, but at the end of the day, we cannot just keep some of these stories to ourselves. Yeah, some of them may be embarrassing, or some of them may be some things that, you know, we went through, but at the end of the day, we have a story to tell that could really help somebody else overcome that same situation, amen? So I've learned to just sit back and think over my life and realize how many seemingly insignificant decisions have really had a significant impact on the direction of my life. I was thinking, because we went home for Thanksgiving, I took Hannah and Jay home, my hometown. Hannah went back years ago. She was so young, she don't even remember. But I was, as we were going through some of, you know, the streets and stuff, I was able to tell them what happened here. You know, how I used to walk, you know, I was what? 8 years old, had to walk about 3 miles just to play basketball, only because I chose to. You know, that's what we did back there. We didn't drive, we walked, or we rode our mopeds, or some of us drove illegally because that's what you do in the country, you know? You don't have to have a license to drive in Bronx and Georgia. You just get in the car. If you can drive, you drive down the road. You know, especially when your family is the chief of police, he ain't gonna stop you and give you no ticket. You just be careful, girl. That's what he told us, you know? So, but, you know, we have, you know, I had these stories that I could tell that, you know, they could somehow kind of see how I was raised, you know? So everything that I may not have even realized, so every decision I made, it had a significant impact on where I am today. And so I, you know, that one question, whose red Mustang was that, had a significant impact on my life today. You know, I never didn't think about it till later, you know? Wow, that one question opened up the door for us to, months later, end up going on a date, months later, end up getting engaged, months later, getting married. And now look at my life 21 years later because I asked one question, whose red Mustang was that? So whenever think about, you know, how these small little things can really start leading you down a path of where God's trying to take us. And I was thinking about how some people, you know, you look at just in a regular small invite. I know some people, Robin, I think yesterday had an ugly Christmas sweater party. You know, so that one invite for somebody could have been something, you know, could have been a trajectory moment for that person's life. You know, just an invite to a sweater of other with other Christian women. Now, you know, she might have even known Christ. But now, because everybody was so nice and friendly, somebody could come and learn about Christ by just an invite to an ugly Christmas sweater party. You know, so we never realize that every decision can set you up for something better in life. Or maybe you're in college. You need one more class, just an elective. An easy A is what you say. I'm going to take this class. Give me an easy L on my transcript. You take that class, you begin to find out something. Wow, I really like this subject. Now you've found a career, a passion or a love that has now changed your life for the better because you were trying to get an easy A. So it all can add up in some way or another, right? So if we really take the time to look back at our lives, I'm sure we all can say, wow, I can't believe that one decision impacted my story. So we have to look back and say, you know, just like we've had some good decisions we've made, some of us have made some bad decisions. And again, they all have made a impacted our story. You know, maybe you say, I wish I hadn't started doing that. Or maybe I wish I had never said that or gone there or become friends with that person. But at the end of the day, that one decision impacted your life in a major way. So the decisions that we made yesterday determine the stories that we'll tell today. The decisions that we made yesterday, they will determine the stories that we tell. That's the wrong one. Go back. Take that away. Yeah. The decisions that we made yesterday determine the stories that we'll tell today. But the decisions that we make today will determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. The decisions that we make today will determine the stories that we'll tell tomorrow. So our decisions really do matter. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12, and this is going to start us off on our series today, or our lesson today. So it's amazing the way the decisions we make determine the stories that we will tell. So Romans 12 and 2, and we're going to read it out of the American Standard Version. So the big question I want to ask you before we start reading is, how do we live a story that is worth telling? How do we live a life that produces a story that we want to tell? And I believe here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 is going to help us find out. It says, let us fix our eyes on who? On Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So wouldn't it be amazing if we just let Jesus, the Son of God, come in and just help us write our life story? And that's what he wants to do. He wants to be invited into our lives so he can come in and help us write our life stories so we can have a story worth telling. Amen? So we're going to make three decisions this morning from our lesson. Three decisions we're going to make on how to make sure that we're writing a story that's worth telling. And the first decision we're going to make is we're going to decide to start. Today we're going to start a discipline that helps us tell the story that God wants to tell. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to decide to stop. All of us have behaviors, mindsets, attitudes that may hinder living the story that God wants us to live. And we're going to stop the one thing that is interrupting that story. And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to decide to stay. We're going to decide to stay when it'd be easier to go. Because so often we quit on things because it gets a little difficult. But no, we're not going to quit on God. We're not going to quit on church. We're not going to quit on our relationships. We're not going to quit on our marriages. We're going to stay the course because we realize that if we just keep swinging, we are going to eventually hit something. Amen? So we're going to start. We're going to decide to start. We're going to decide to stop. And we're going to decide to stay. All right? So the first one, let's decide to start. Okay. We're going to decide to start a discipline that can be life transforming. And we know the pastor has taught us that discipline is just what? Enforced obedience, right? So we are going to start a discipline that is going to be life transforming. And there's this book that I started reading and I kind of put it down. I had it for a little while. I'm not a big reader. I know I should be a big reader, but I'm not a big reader. That's just my honest, you know, that's just me being very transparent. So I've had this book for a while and it's called The Book of Habit. I'm sorry, The Power of Habit, The Power of Habit. And this book talks about how habits are at the core of everything that we do and what impact these habits will have on our lives. So the author of the book is called Charles Duhigg. So if you want to pick it up, it's a very good book. And he tells us that there are certain habits or certain disciplines that when you practice those habits, they begin positive momentum in other positive habits. Then there's also other certain some things that if we're doing this thing, then when we're disciplined, we're going to move forward. Or when we're not doing that one thing, our disciplined lifestyle begins to unravel. Okay? So we want to find this keystone habit that's going to keep us to start making everything else lines up. Okay? So that's what the book is saying. Find this one thing that's going to make you start being good in every other area of your life. Okay? So I began to think about myself as I started this book. I said years ago, put it down, picked it up again, stopped the book, picked it up again. So I started the book again, right? So I said, okay, this time I'm going to be disciplined. All right? I am tired of always having to start over. So back in July, I started working out, and I said, okay, I'm going to invest in making sure that I'm no longer going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. So I started working out consistently, but I was not eating right to fit all this working out that I was doing, right? So I'm like, okay, this is not making sense. Why can I not be disciplined? Why am I having this issue in this area? So I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. My sisters are dentists. We all know that Veronica's a dentist. And one of the things that I hate to do is floss, right? That's just, again, being very transparent. Even though I don't floss, they tell me, your teeth look very good for you not to floss. I'm like, well, thank you. But they say, well, let's try flossing next time. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. Never tried it, right? So the next time I say, okay, if flossing is so important, I'm going to start trying to floss. So maybe that'll help me in other areas of my discipline. So I start to floss. Okay, my discipline is now I am not going to bed until I floss. So that's what I did. I flossed. I felt disciplined. The next morning, 4:30 alarm goes off. I feel disciplined. I'm going to go work out, okay, because I flossed. I flossed. I worked out. Now I worked out. I'm not going to forfeit all this hard work. I'm going to eat better, right? So I flossed. I worked out. I ate better. Because I ate better, now I'm able to rest good. Because I'm tired, because I have done all those good things. I go to bed, I wake up, I'm refreshed, I'm doing my devotion. Because I'm not, now, you know, I'm alert because I feel like I'm getting disciplined because I'm doing something I knew that I said I couldn't do before. But now, okay, I'm flossing. You know, I'm getting up, I'm working out, I'm eating good, I'm waking up, feeling well rested, I'm doing my devotion. I'm in a great mood because I have spent time with God. People around me are not mad. If they are, they're now happy because I'm here, right? Because I'm trying to be disciplined now. Something so small as flossing has now caused me to work out now every day. I'm watching what I eat. You know, I've always been disciplined with my devotion, but now I'm even more, you know, on target with my devotion. Everybody around me is happy. That's my confession of faith, you know. And now pastor comes home, oh, you're awesome. I'm like, you're awesomer. How you doing, boo? You know, so everybody's winning. Why? Because I chose to floss. It set the whole tone of my day. So find something that you can be disciplined in that'll just carry over into every area of your life. We have two wonderful kids because I decided to floss. You know? Woohoo, baby. You know? So it's like when you choose to do things, you know, that you were once undisciplined in, no, you know what? I'm not gonna let this thing beat me. So whatever your undisciplined area may be, find it and say, you know what, I'm gonna beat this thing. I'm not going to keep, you know, it may not be flossing. You know, it may be, you know, you and your bank account. You may be an overspender. Maybe, you know, you're like, you know what? No, we're going to get on a budget, and we're going to do this thing. I'm going to stop going to Target spending at least $100. That was my thing. I don't care. Whenever I went to Target, it was at least $100 every time I went to Target. But no, maybe you can't go to Target this week. Because, again, we're trying to just be disciplined. Because if I'm disciplined here, it's gonna again, spill over to every other area of your life. On the flip side, if I wasn't flossing, now I don't have no discipline to get up and work out. Shoot, I'm a sleepy in. And because I'm not working out, I'm going to eat whatever I want. Because I don't feel disciplined in that one thing. So that's what the power of habit is saying. If that one thing, if you're not disciplined in it, it can either unravel or it can start spooling you to bring forth a positive momentum in your life. Amen? So now let me show you something in Scripture. A guy in Scripture named Daniel. You guys know him, right? Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to talk about a guy who was very disciplined. And the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And one of the things I thought about when I thought about the story with the lions is that cats were always the issue. Even back in the Old Testament. How many lions like cats? Y'all like cats? No, they're on top of your curtains and your table. Go sit down is what I'm thinking about cats, right? So they like arch their backs. Okay. Anyways, so Daniel in the lion's den, right? So here we see that King Darius, he selected 120 satraps. It's like governors of a territory, right? And he picked three men to be over the 120, and then he picked, basically, he ultimately picked Daniel to be over everybody. Why? Because he was a guy that had great leadership skills. He was a guy full of integrity, and he was just an all-around great guy. So out of the 120, we see that Daniel was in charge over everybody. We're going to pick it up here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, and it says, "At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so." Why were they unable to do so? They were trying to find some tea on him, right? They were trying to find something that they could do to try to mess up his life, because they were basically, they were envious of him. They were trying to find a reason to bring charges against Daniel, but they couldn't. So they could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Verse 5. "Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" So they came up with this plan. You can read all the rest of this in your leisure. But basically, they came up with this plan and said, "King Darius, set a decree so that if anybody prays to any other god but you, that you're going to put them in the den of lions." And King Darius said, "Okay, that's cool with me. Let's do it. Let's go for it." So we see here that for the next 30 days, that was the decree, 30 days, they cannot pray to any other god but Darius. And so he said, "Okay, that's fine." So in verse 4, we read here that it says that he was trustworthy and had favor, right? So why was it that Daniel was looked upon favorably? Why was it that he was a man of integrity? Why was it that they could find no corruption in him? I'm so glad you asked me that. Let's go to verse 10, okay? So verse 10, we see here that now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and did what? What did he do? He prayed, giving thanks to God. And what does it say? Let's read it together. "Just as he had done before." So it did not matter the decree. He said, "I'm going to remain disciplined in what I have been doing, what has got me here already. I have been found favorable." Why? Because I'm always praying to my God. Because I am disciplined to go before God and worship him three times a day. That's why they cannot find no corruption on me. Because I'm disciplined in this area. So in your life, when you are disciplined in the area, you will find yourself favored among everybody else. When you are disciplined, you will find yourself in positions that everybody else cannot handle, because you have the wisdom of God who is now breathing and helping you along the way. Amen. So Daniel found himself to be in a favorable position because he was disciplined. So my question to you today is, what is the story that God wants you to tell 5 years from now? What is the story he's going to have you tell once you start being disciplined in a certain situation? So again, we are setting ourselves up for God to help us rewrite the stories of our life. Amen? So now, we talked about starting. So now the next thing we're going to do is we're going to decide to stop. Okay, deciding to stop. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Direction, not what you intend to do, is going to determine where you're going or determine where you end up. A lot of us have great intentions. You know, "Oh, I meant to do that," or "I meant to say that," or "I was going to." But no, when you start moving, that's what's going to determine where you go. Not what you thought about doing, but what you started to do is going to determine where you end up, all right? So again, we have to stop trying to write our stories by ourselves. A lot of times we find ourselves, "Oh, I can do it. I can handle it. It ain't that hard." Next thing you know, you have like 45 things looking at you because you have not been having people help you along the way. We cannot do it all by ourselves. We all need somebody, whether you believe it or not. You can't do it all by yourself. Yes, we are superwoman. We can do a lot of things, but guess what? The load will be a lot lighter if you welcome the help. Amen? So we have to stop trying to do it all by ourselves, because we don't all need the glory. Sometimes people don't want help because they want to have, "Oh, look what she did." No, that's pride. That's selfishness. No, it's all about us all working together to work towards one common goal. Amen. So I want to look at the story of Moses, and we're going to look here in Exodus chapter 18. And I think a lot of people can relate to this story, because there are a lot of people who sometimes feel overwhelmed. or the, you know, they may be on a job that sometimes seems draining, like, dog, you know, it's just taking so much from me. But here we're going to find out here in Exodus that help really is here, all right? So Exodus chapter 18 and verse 17, and it says that Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. What you are doing is not good. Trying to do it all by yourself is not good. You know, trying to handle everybody's problems and issues is not good. And what does it say? He said, verse 18 says, you and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it all alone. So, you know, so what we're doing to ourselves sometimes is just really carrying the weight that God says we don't have to carry. He tells us to cast our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. He wants to help us. So why carry this all this extra burden and load on our own when we have someone who is there to help us? He said, what you're doing is not good. Constantly canceling out your future because of your past, that's not good. We all have a past. We all have messed up. None of us are perfect. But if we keep rehearsing what we did wrong and rehearse what we did wrong, you're really stopping yourself from what God wants to give to you in the future because you won't stop looking at what you did wrong. But again, we have to keep moving forward. Constantly chasing out the world's vision of success, we got to stop doing that. We can't measure ourselves based on what we see on Instagram. That's fake, okay? And a lot of this that they're posting, that's borrowed. That's not theirs. You know, they're going to be somebody that they get paid advertisement for, so they're going to let you portray your pictures with their stuff. They didn't pay for that stuff. You know, we can't be on Pinterest all day trying to find out what everybody's doing when we have our own interests and things that we could be doing ourselves, right? So we got to make sure that we are not comparing ourselves against everybody else or holding ourselves back, but we got to continue to move forward. So Jethro tells us here in verse 18, he says, you know, you're trying to carry all this stuff on your own. It's not good for you. He says, I will give you some advice in verse 19. And he says, may God be with you. And God is with you today to help you carry the load that you've been trying to carry all by yourself. Those things that you cry about at night and worry about, stressing about, you got to stop stressing yourself out because what you're doing is you're burning yourself out because you're up at night worrying about situations and people. When you just give them to God, you pray for them, you give them to God and say, God, you can handle this. I can't. Because ultimately, we cannot fix people. All we can do is say, Father, you give me the wisdom of what to say to them, and pray that they will receive this wisdom from you, and Father, they are in your hands. And I, you know, Hannah was telling me about a situation that she's dealing with at school with a person. And I said, Pumpkin, you cannot change that person. All you can do is pray that whatever that person is going through, and just pray that it'll get easier for them, that way they won't take it out on you. But you cannot worry yourself because he's hurting somebody else. I appreciate your heart and your concern for that person, but at the end of the day, you cannot make anybody do right. So you just have to pray for them and say, Father, they are in your hands. I know that you will not let them go astray. I have taught them the way of the Lord. And Father, you know, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So you pray for them and say, I'm going to bed. All right? I'm getting me some sweet sleep. All right? So here Moses, he has a game plan. The game plan was choose some capable leaders and train them to handle the disputes for the people. And so sometimes we have to learn how to delegate. And that's one thing the pastor has taught the staff here. Delegate. You can't do it all. We cannot do it all because at the end of the day, like I said a moment ago, you're going to burn yourself out trying to do everything by yourself. You get you a team and you say, okay, this is what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to come back together. We're going to meet and find out what's going on. And then we can reevaluate the plan and we're going to move forward, whatever we have to do. But don't try to do it all by yourself because you are only one person, right? And when God is there, he says, let me help you. All right. So we're going to stop doing those things that are causing us to just be way down. Again, the mental, just beating ourselves up mentally. We got to stop doing that because, again, you're just really holding yourself back because of what you've done in the past. Again, we all have a past. That's no longer there, all right? The past is in the past. It's time to move forward, all right? And so also, there's two things I want to tell you real quick on this topic is that why you should stop doing something that is not good. The first reason why you should stop doing something that is not good because you don't know what you're missing if you don't stop. You don't know what you're missing if you don't stop doing it. You know, think about it. Social media, as I said a moment ago, it's not bad, but being on social media all day is bad. Why? Because you have now lost valuable time with your family because you're on your phone just scrolling. You could have went to the movies. You could have went to Dairy Queen, got your fudge, whatever they sell, the hot fudge sundae with the nuts. You know, you could have had some good times with people instead of sitting somewhere on a couch scrolling on social media. So there are certain things that you miss out on when you don't stop doing things that are not good for you, right? You know, your relationships begin to get better when you start spending quality time with your spouse or with your sisters or your brothers. Things get better when you invest in them, amen? The second thing is you don't know what blessings are on the other side of your stopping. You don't know what it would cost you if you don't stop. You don't know what it would really cost you if you don't stop doing those things that are hindering you from moving forward. Amen? So we don't want to just keep going and keep going and keep going, and then we're forced to stop because we didn't stop. Because sometimes what happens is we just keep going and going and going, and then now our bodies have just stopped and shut down because you didn't stop. But our bodies will tell us when it's time to stop, amen? So ultimately, he wants to help us, right? He is here to help us. So the question I asked you earlier was, what does God want you to start? Now I'm asking you, what does God want you to stop? All right? And there are some things that are externally that we know we need to stop. You know, if it's a sin, we know we need to stop those things that are externally. You know, stop giving people the middle finger at the red light. That's not nice, right? Don't do that, okay? When I was younger, I ain't gonna lie, I did it a couple times, I ain't gonna lie, because I like to be on the road and you holding me up, get out the way, you know? That was wrong and I repented for my sins. Worrying, we gotta stop doing that, you know? We've got to give those things to God, all right? Okay, so we're gonna decide to start, decide to stop, now we're gonna decide to stay. Reality is we're going to run up against obstacles and challenges in life. But the thing is, we can't always tuck our tails and run. We got to learn how to fight this fight of faith and keep going, amen? Maybe it's a job that you don't think you can endure another day. Just stay another day. Maybe it's a relationship that's turned south and you think maybe it's not worth staying in this relationship any longer. Maybe it's a dream or a vision, something that you've tried to accomplish. You think, you know what, it's never going to happen. But we've got to stay committed to it, amen? And the thing is, when we acknowledge that there are times that we have to walk away, we're not going to remain in a relationship where we're going to get beat up, right? We're not going to stay in a relationship where there is physical abuse. We're not going to do that. But at the end of the day, we must realize that we're not just going to just, you know, hightail run because it's getting difficult, right? We got to make sure that we are developing our faith so that we can see the victory in that situation. Amen. Sometimes the best decision you can make is to stay when it would be easier to go. And sometimes the best decisions you can make is to stay the course when it would be easier to walk away. And all of us at some point in our lives, we're going to come to a crossroad. Because unbelief asks the question, how can I get out of this? But faith asks, what can I get out of this? Not how can I get out of it, but what can I get out of it? What is the lesson God's teaching me in going through this situation? But the thing is, we have to make sure that we don't, again, forfeit the promise because it's hard or because it's difficult. So my question now is, where does God want you to stay the course so that you can live the story that he wants you to tell? When does God want you to stay the course when it would be easier to walk away? Well, lady, he cheated on me. I understand that. Yes, adultery is grounds for divorce, but it's also grounds for forgiveness if you want to forgive. But again, it's a matter of, are you willing to work through the issue that happened? Because it may be hurtful. I'm sure it was hurtful, but at the end of the day, if you make the decision to stay through it, God will give you the strength to get through that situation. Amen? So again, it's a matter of perspective, or is it really worth you fighting for? You have to ask yourself that question. Do I want to fight for this? Then I will fight for it. Again, it's not always going to be easy, but it's worth it. Amen? A lot of times we think that the grass is going to be greener on the other side. Before we make a decision, we have got to count up the cost. Let's read Genesis chapter 26, and I'm almost done. Courtney, you can go ahead and start playing. Is that right? The clock? Okay. Yes. We get ready to go. Genesis 26, and we're almost done. We have to learn to count up the cost. Amen? Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live." Verse 3, he says, "Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." So here we see Isaac in a place of famine. And at that time, just like his father Abraham, he went to Egypt to get out of the famine. But Isaac is saying, okay, I'm going here to Philistine. And God is saying, don't go to Egypt. Stay right here where there's a famine, and I'm going to bless you. So stay in a place where it may seem like it's dried up and barren and it's fruitless. But God is saying, just because it may seem that way to you, I'm with you. I'm here to help you through this dry and drought season of your life. In verse 6, what did Isaac do? He stayed in Gerar. In the midst of the drought and famine, when everything else was drying up all around him, he was committed to stay and to sow in that very land. And let's see what happened in verse 12. Verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord did what? Blessed him. That man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So there is a blessing when you stay and be obedient to God. Again, every situation is different. I'm not saying this is a blanket statement. Stay, stay, stay. No, you have to hear the voice of God and be obedient to God's voice for your life in that situation. But if God is telling you to stay in that situation, guess what? He's going to give you the provision to help you stay and be victorious in that situation. But again, we have to consult him. A lot of times we just make our own decisions because we're emotional. You know, I'm tired of coming to this job and they don't want to give me no raise. Well, you just keep being, you know, you just keep coming to work with a great attitude and they may give you a raise. You know, but again, what are you showing forth when you go clock in? You know, are you having a great attitude every time you go? Are you working unto man? Are you working unto the Lord? When you work unto the Lord, he is going to bless you. Amen. So the thing is, when we are obedient to God and we stay the course, we are going to see things work in our favor. When we stay in faith, even when it seems hard, we are going to see ourselves victorious. We got to keep sowing, even though it looks like weeds are all around us, eating up our seeds. I'm going to keep planting in that same ground, and I'm going to keep watering my harvest with the words of my mouth, and it is going to produce 100-fold return in my life because I'm confessing it. But it's a matter of what are you saying, amen? So I pray today that you realize that, you know, you will reap if you don't quit. It may seem hard, but guess what? You can make it. Everything is not always going to be, you know, gravy. Everything's not always going to be, you know, peachy keen. And that's not doubt and that's not unbelief, but that's life. There are going to be issues. There are going to be people that's going to turn their back on you. Family members may not even like you no more. But guess what? That's your loss, you know? But you have to realize that God is there. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to change his mind about you. And it may not, again, always be easy, but it's going to be worth you fighting through it to see the prize on the other side. Amen. So I pray you were blessed on this morning. I pray you were encouraged that you're going to start disciplining yourselves in some areas. You're going to stop doing some things. You're going to stop beating yourself up. You're going to stay the course so that you can see the victory in every situation in your life. Amen. So let's have our heads bowed at this time. Let's close our eyes as we go forth with our pills on this morning. You know, maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, my